Welcome and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be a question-and-answer session. You may press star 1 on your touch-tone phone to ask a question. Please record your name when prompted. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, please disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Tom Skinner. Go ahead, sir. You may begin.
Hi, Sharon. Thank you all for joining us today for this update today on CDC's and investigation into some clusters of enterovirus D68 here in the United States, 2014. With us today is Dr. Ann Schuchat. That last name is spelled S-C-H-U-C-H-A-T, and she's the director of CDC's National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Diseases. She'll provide some opening remarks, and then we'll get to your questions. Dr. Schuchat.
Thank you, Tom, and thanks, everybody, for joining us today. We know that media reports over the weekend and this morning have raised concerns about clusters of severe respiratory illness among children, and I wanted to update you and provide an opportunity to answer the questions that you have. We understand the concern about this situation. Severe respiratory illness is always a concern to us, especially when children are affected. And our thoughts go to the families that have been impacted this season. Later this afternoon, we're going to be releasing an MMWR report that describes recent clusters of severe respiratory illness associated with enterovirus 68 in Missouri and Illinois. I'm going to talk a little bit about those clusters and then some general background information and then have a chance for questions. In August 2014, hospital officials in Kansas City, Missouri, and in Chicago, Illinois, notified CDC of an increase in severe respiratory illness among children seen in the emergency rooms and admitted to the hospitals in those two cities. Specimens initially tested positive for rhinovirus and enterovirus. The CDC did further testing and identified enterovirus 68 in specimens from patients in hospitals in both Kansas City and Chicago. EV68 was identified in 19 of 22 specimens from Kansas City and in 11 of 14 specimens from Chicago. Ages ranged from 6 weeks to 16 years, with a median of 4 to 5 years. Well over half of the children in these two clusters had a previous history of asthma or wheezing. CDC is working closely with Missouri, Illinois, and other state health departments as they continue to investigate suspected clusters of respiratory illness in other facilities. Our laboratory staff here at CDC have had a chance to sequence some of the recent specimens, and I can tell you that it's not a new strain. It's the same, based on the sequencing results we have, as EV68 strains identified in the United States last year and in previous specimens from other countries. So this isn't a new virus, but EV68 is fairly uncommon, and we don't know as much about it as we do about some of the other common enteroviruses. Hospital admissions for severe respiratory illness among children in the Kansas City and Chicago hospitals have been higher than expected for this time of year. Several other states are also investigating similar clusters of severe respiratory illness that might be due to EV68. Testing is ongoing in a number of these other instances. I need to say that the situation is evolving quickly. CDC and our colleagues are gathering information to better understand EV68 and the illness caused by this virus, how widespread EV68 infections may be, and which populations are most affected, and whether other states are experiencing severe respiratory illness, perhaps due to this virus. CDC is communicating often with state health departments that are investigating the suspect clusters of respiratory illness, and we have received specimens for lab testing from other states. That testing is in progress. I need to provide a little bit more background because enterovirus 68 is not something that we talk about very often. Enteroviruses in general are very common. There are more than 100 different types of enterovirus, And it's estimated that 10 to 15 million enterovirus infections occur in the United States each year. Enteroviruses can cause respiratory illness, but they can also cause febrile rash and neurologic illnesses, as well as aseptic meningitis. Most infected people have no symptoms or only mild symptoms, but some infections with the different enteroviruses can be serious. Infants, children, and teenagers are most likely to get infected with enteroviruses and become sick, as opposed to adults on exposure to this virus. Most enterovirus infections in the U.S. occur in the summer and fall, so this is the right time of year for enterovirus infections. Enterovirus 68, or EV68, are less common than the other enteroviruses. EV68 was first identified in California in 1962, but compared with the other enteroviruses, it has been very rarely reported here in the United States. What we know about it, though, is that it can cause mild or severe respiratory illness, yet the full spectrum of all of the illnesses that it can cause are not well defined, and that's something that people are looking into with these clusters. We don't know as much as we'd like to know about this virus, but we believe it spreads similar to ways that other enteroviruses are spread, through respiratory secretions like saliva and mucus. The virus likely spreads from person to person when an infected person coughs, sneezes, or touches surfaces. There's no specific treatment for this, and many illnesses that are mild will resolve on their own, but others who have more severe illness may need to be hospitalized and require supportive care. Importantly, since we have identified asthma as a factor in some of the illnesses, we think it's very important for asthma to be well treated and controlled. What can people do to protect themselves and their families from this virus? Well, based on how we think it's spreading, we think that it's important to follow those usual common sense steps, washing your hands often with soap and water for 20 seconds, disinfecting frequently touched surfaces like toys and doorknobs, especially if someone in the home is ill. While enterovirus doesn't have any vaccine that will prevent these respiratory infections at this point, remember that flu vaccination is going to be available very soon, and preventing other respiratory infections can be important to protect people from the many other infections that are likely to be spreading. We want healthcare professionals to be aware that these clusters are occurring and to be aware that EV68 may be a potential cause of clusters of severe respiratory illness, particularly affecting young children. We'd like healthcare professionals, doctors, and nurses to consider laboratory testing of respiratory specimens for enteroviruses when the cause of infection in severely ill patients is unclear. State health departments or CDC can be approached for help with typing of the enteroviruses, and we're really keen for clinicians and hospitals to go through their state or local health departments as they're evaluating possible increases. This is a very dynamic situation, unusual virus on a backdrop of very common other respiratory viruses, and just beginning to understand the clusters in Kansas City and Chicago. I'm sure that you have some questions, and I'd be happy to take them at this time.
Okay, Sharon, I believe we're ready for questions, please.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. Please unmute your phone and record your name clearly when prompted. One moment, please, for our first question. Our first question comes from Miriam Falco of CNN Medical News. Go ahead, ma'am. Your line is open.
Hi, Dr. Shukat. Thank you very much for taking questions. This is not a reportable disease, so how folks want to know how many cases are out there, and I'm sure that's hard to answer, but can you specify which other states are reporting clusters, and also an approximate number on how many severe illness cases you think there are, and also should this now possibly be a reportable illness?
Thanks so much, Miriam. There isn't routine reporting for this kind of enterovirus infection. We have a number of systems that track respiratory illness, usually at the syndromic level. I think many of you are familiar with our influenza-like illness reporting of sentinel providers around the country. And that system tracks the percent of acute visits that are associated with an illness that is a respiratory or influenza-like illness. That system is not detecting any increase in the proportion of visits around the country. So we don't think that there's a national generalized increase in people seeking care for respiratory illness in the outpatient setting. But that is not specific to enterovirus 68. We've been connecting with our state and local health departments. We issued something called an EpiX a couple weeks ago to try to ask them about clusters of severe respiratory illness and alert them to what was going on in the Kansas City area. And through that system, we've been contacted by about a dozen states. Some of those states are still in the process of investigating their clusters, and some of the laboratory testing, in fact, pretty much all of the laboratory testing, is still in process. In terms of numbers, unfortunately, I can't say exactly how much disease is out there. I can say that several dozen cases have been identified to be caused by the EV68, but even in some of these clusters, not all of the illness is caused by this particular virus. So we're in a stage where it's difficult to say just how big this is, how long it will go on for, and how widespread it will be. But we do plan to make sure that we update people and that we work closely with the state and local health departments as they support the clinical communities in understanding what's going on nearby. In terms of making this reportable, I think what we do have as a generally reportable condition is severe illness that is unexplained or clusters of severe illness. So we get alerts for this kind of thing in the general way rather than the actual EV68. The testing is not simple and it's not widely available, so that would make the specific viral testing as a condition for reporting somewhat difficult. Next question.
Again, if you would like to ask a question or if you pressed star 1 previously, please press star 1 again for a question. Our next question comes from Andrew Siff. Go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi there. I'm calling from New York City and wondering, since there's so much travel here from some of the affected states so far, has any advice been communicated to hospitals in the New York area or to doctors out here, or is there any advice for folks in regions not yet affected by it?
You know, respiratory viruses can spread quite quickly across the U.S. We see a number of different respiratory viruses cycling each year or over a couple-year period. So we really do think that clinicians throughout the country need to be on the alert for increases in severe respiratory illness and consider this in the differential diagnosis. Geography isn't that helpful when it comes to respiratory viruses. We know that flu transits the entire country pretty quickly, and I think we believe that the unusual increases in Kansas City and Chicago may be occurring elsewhere over the weeks ahead, so we want people to be on the lookout. Next question.
Our next question comes from Mike Stobie of Associated Press. Go ahead. Your line is open.
Are you there, Mike?
One moment, please.
Hello.
Yeah, Mike, go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking the question. How many cases make a cluster? And then could you a little more detail on how many clusters we're talking about, and could you name the 12 states that have contacted the CDC about having cases?
About 12 states have contacted CDC. I don't have the names. Could probably get you that through our press office. It's very important when you're talking about respiratory illness to think about the background patterns. And respiratory infections are among the most common reason that people seek medical care, either in doctor's offices or emergency departments. So it's not like measles where three cases make the cluster. What you're looking for is an increase over previous seasonal patterns. So in Kansas City and Chicago, they were looking at, you know, their emergency department visits and their admissions to their pediatric wards or their pediatric intensive care units, and it's there that they saw more than they expected based on the usual late summer experience. So we don't have a numeric cutoff. We really are looking at background patterns and when that's larger than expected. We also will look at unusual presentations. And so when you see, you know, for instance, more severe disease in older children than usual, usually the severe disease is in kids under two. So seeing several cases that are in five-year-olds and eight-year-olds and nine-year-olds, that's an unusual presentation. So the clinicians and the state and local health departments really look at patterns rather than numbers.
Well, can you just say how many clusters then?
What I was saying was about 12 different states have contacted us to support them as they investigate. Now, I know that one or more of them have been shown to be caused by something else, not the EB68, but I think there's a lot of work that's ongoing. And I wouldn't be surprised if there are many more. One thing to say about enterovirus 68 and other unusual viruses is that when we look, we can find more. And so as we put out an alert, we're not surprised when more people let us know that they're managing a situation. Also, the lab testing, you know, wasn't really being done 10 years ago or so. And as these some of the assays become a little bit more available, we may find out about more of these kinds of occurrences.
Next question, Sharon.
Our next question comes from Richard Besser of ABC News. Go ahead, sir. Your line is open.
Thanks very much for taking the question. And a couple questions. First, was there any adult disease in these clusters?
So far, we don't have adult disease confirmed to be by EV68. We did look into a respiratory outbreak in a nursing home, and it turned out it was not caused by this. We were a little concerned because it happened geographically and temporally around the same time and place, but it was due to a different kind of virus. So I think that important to say there are a lot of respiratory viruses circulating right now, and the much more common ones are out there as well.
And have there been any fatalities? And if this is the same strain that was seen before in California, any neurologic findings such as paralysis?
There haven't been fatalities this year caused by this virus that we're aware of, but of course that may happen, and we need to be alert to that. One of the reasons to raise the alert is so that clinicians will be preparing for increasing numbers of children with severe illness. The clusters currently are focusing in on the severe respiratory illness, and so I'm not aware of new severe neurologic symptoms being linked with this strain. As of this summer's investigation, we haven't seen that.
Our next question comes from Robert Lowes of Medscape Medical News. Go ahead, your line is open.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I guess this is part of your investigation, but in general, why does one particular strain of this enterovirus, you know, come to the forefront and cause, you know, outbreaks?
Thank you for that question. That's a really great question. I don't have the answer to it, but we will be, you know, doing investigations in conjunction with the state and local health departments to understand who's getting sick and why they might be at higher risk than others. Exactly why different strains of the virus emerge and have an ability to spread well is a key question. Perhaps some of the additional study of this virus itself will elaborate some clues. Next question.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Michelle Cortez of Bloomberg News. Go ahead. Your line is open.
Thanks for taking the question. I'm wondering if you can tell us if there's anything that might highlight these particular cases versus normal cold and viruses that might be circulating at this time, if there's any way for parents to differentiate right away that this is something that they might need to see their doctor about right away. And then also for the children who are being hospitalized, is that just protectively or are these kids needing mechanical ventilation and the like? Thanks.
You know, signs for parents to worry about are the usual ones in terms of difficulty breathing. That's a warning sign for parents you know, runny nose and the sniffles is not really that unexpected, and those that can be caused by many different things. But if it looks like your child is having difficulty breathing, you absolutely want to seek medical help. In terms of the second part of the question, I'm just forgetting. Oh, could you repeat the second part of your question?
Yeah, the second part of the question was just what type of illness and treatment are the children who are hospitalized getting? Is it just a protective, we're going to keep them in the hospital to you know, give them fluids and treat the symptoms, or is it severe, like mechanical ventilation and whatnot?
Some of them have been more severe in terms of, particularly with the asthma background, that getting the breathing stabilized. I think there has been some mechanical ventilation, but that's not been common. It's been more the need for the asthma to be treated. So it's really supportive care, sometimes in an intensive care unit, fluids as well as other oxygen support to help make the breathing a little bit easier. One of the signs that has been common among kids, even those without asthma history, has been wheezing. And so there are some medicines we can give to children who are having difficulty wheezing in addition to the oxygen, basically medicines that help open up the airways. So that's been the kind of support. And again, you know, this can be a scary thing to hear about for parents. Very important to say that if you're concerned that your child is having difficulty breathing, you want to make sure that you contact their healthcare provider. Most of the runny noses out there are not going to be turning into this. Next question.
Our next question comes from Evan Brown of Fox News Radio. Go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you for taking the question. Dr. Shukat, can you talk about prevention? You know, when we talk about other diseases, you know, we talk about hygiene and things like that. Is this virus, can it be prevented by good hygiene matters, or is someone just going to kind of get sick if they come into contact with it? And also, if you don't mind, I realize this is a bit off topic, but there has been an announcement that I'm calling from Miami, that a Miami area hospital has a potential Ebola case, and I was wondering if you had any information on that as well.
On the second question, I don't have any information. I'm sorry about that. But in terms of the prevention and hygiene, we don't know as much as we'd like to specifically about EV68, but for enteroviruses and other respiratory viruses, we do think hygiene is important, that frequent hand washing can be helpful, that avoiding touching eyes, nose, and mouth with unwashed hands can be helpful because you can have something on your hands and then inoculate yourself through your eyes or nose or mouth. Avoiding sharing utensils with people who are sick, disinfecting frequently touched surfaces, such as toys or doorknobs, especially if somebody's sick. There aren't any vaccines specific to EV68. But I do want to remind people that we recommend influenza vaccine for everybody 6 months of age and over, and that will not prevent every respiratory virus out there, and it certainly won't prevent EV68, but it will be the best protection against the influenza viruses, which will be circulating this year, too. Next question.
Our next question comes from Deborah Kotz of Boston Globe. Go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. I just wanted to verify something that was said by Dr. Shukat when she was giving her opening remarks. Was it half of the kids who were hospitalized have asthma? And my other follow-up question to that is, are there other children who have been identified as at higher risk as well? Like I'm thinking maybe children with certain allergies, certain seasonal allergies, or other kinds of respiratory conditions who are more at risk of having a more severe reaction to this virus.
It was more than half of the children in the two clusters that had asthma or a history of wheezing, and we don't have other conditions that we have found to be more frequently recognized in the children in these clusters than in the general population. We will be working with the health departments to understand what kinds of illnesses they're seeing and whether there are particular age groups or other factors involved. But as of now, it's really only asthma that's been showing up. And an important other feature for prevention that I failed to remember to say is that if children have asthma, you want to make sure they're well controlled, that they're taking their medicines regularly, seeing their healthcare professionals regularly, because keeping asthma in good control can keep you in better form if you come in contact with one of these respiratory viruses. Next question.
Our next question comes from Anahad O'Connor of New York Times. Go ahead, sir. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks for hosting this call. Could you just repeat for us the number of children that were in those two clusters you mentioned earlier, and then also whether there's an actual or what the actual number of confirmed cases are?
The numbers that I can share are the laboratory confirmed those clusters, and so 15 out of 22 specimens from Kansas City was confirmed to be due to the EV68. Out of 14 specimens from Chicago, there were larger numbers of children in both of those clusters, some of whom didn't have laboratory testing, but those were the numbers that we have. The MMWR has a little bit more information, but what I can say is that the situations in those cities and elsewhere are evolving, and so a day-to-day number is helpful as just knowing that the majority of tested specimens in those two clusters were EV68. Next question?
Our next question comes from Diane Estbrook of Al Jazeera America. Go ahead, ma'am. Your line is open.
Hi there. I was wondering, I know you mentioned that there's really, you can't treat this with antibiotics, but what can parents give their children? Can they give them ibuprofen or aspirin to treat the symptoms?
We try to stay away from aspirin in children who have respiratory illnesses. There was a condition called Reye syndrome associated with aspirin when given to children who had flu. So in general, we don't want parents to give their kids aspirin for the respiratory illnesses. Fluids are always a good idea. Medications like ibuprofen are probably okay. Clearly, if the child has asthma, you want to make sure that the asthma medicines are going in and that they're working well. But many people with this kind of respiratory virus will do well with just time. Next question.
Our next question comes from Pauline Dakin of CBC News. Go ahead. Your line is open.
Thanks very much. I'm wondering whether what the challenges are for testing. Are there state facilities for testing?
Some of the state health departments are able to do testing. It's a polymerase chain reaction test that is done. CDC can provide backup or support, but the clinician's first line would be the health department, the state or local health department. There are commercial tests that will test for respiratory viral panels, but those will usually give you a result about a rhinovirus or enterovirus, and they wouldn't be specific to this type. So if clinicians are seeing increases in cases, they may want to check with their state or local health department about being able to test for this virus to understand whether it's circulating. It could be helpful to know if it's circulating in a community to have a sense that there might be further increases coming. It wouldn't change the individual care that the child has, but it would be more for understanding the situation at the hospital or in the community.
Thank you. And what is the normal course of the illness in terms of length?
This is so relatively new, this particular EV enterovirus, that it would be hard for me to say. Probably about a week would be typical for most of the enterovirus illnesses that don't lead to longer-term sequelae like some of the neurologic ones. But, that'll be the kind of information that'll be gathered as these clusters are investigated.
Our next question comes from Jill Meshishan of CTV National News. Go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi there. We're hearing about this now in Canada. Is the international community being notified about the virus? And I also have another question. If there were a few cases last year, what's causing the spread this year?
The respiratory virus spread is quite unpredictable. When new strains come in, we usually see them for a few years, and then other strains start to dominate. We haven't specifically targeted global communication, but I can say that reports a couple years ago were about clusters of the EV68 severe respiratory illness in other countries before we saw it here in the U.S. So Japan and the Philippines had clusters in addition to the United States, a couple places here. So we don't, we think that respiratory viruses will circle the globe and they'll come and go, and whether we'll be seeing this extended spread of this EV68 or it'll just be a few cities affected this year. We just don't know at this time. Next question.
Our next question comes from Allison Wyckoff of AAP News. Go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, Dr. Shukit. You mentioned the specimens that you tested that were confirmed for EV68. What about the ones that were not confirmed to have that? What did those children have?
You know, we see the usual spread. We've seen rhinovirus and echovirus, for instance, other common respiratory viruses. So I think that, as you know, and as the AAP News readers know, there's so many different respiratory viruses, and depending on the location and the time of year, they'll be coming and going. I don't believe we saw RSV in the samples that we were looking at. It's a little bit early in the year for us to find that, but of course, going forward, that will become more common likely, as will influenza.
Mm-hmm.
But some were negative for those for anything actually. Next question.
Our next question comes from Sheila Eldred of Discovery News. Go ahead, your line is open.
Hi, my question was just asked. Thanks.
Okay, great. Is there operator?
Sharon, Sharon, are there any more questions?
Yes, our next question comes from Nikki Egan of People Magazine. Go ahead, your line is open.
Oh, hi there. Earlier this year, we did a story about the polio-like illnesses appearing in some children in California. And the doctor there at Stanford had pinpointed enterovirus 68 as being in at least two of the five cases that they saw. Were you involved in that investigation at all? And I think that's why someone was asking earlier about reports of paralysis. But they still had not come up with a cause for the paralysis out there, but said it was, they thought it was some sort of enterovirus, and they had actually tested, and two of the five kids had 68 in their systems.
Yeah, let me say a few things. The enteroviruses can cause neurologic syndromes, including paralysis in children. And the EV68 has been associated with neurologic conditions, not just with the severe respiratory illness. To my knowledge, we don't actually have the specimens that the clinician in California tested, so aren't able to compare sequences, for instance, with the EV68 that we're seeing now. We haven't been contacted by health departments recently about paralytic disease, such as we heard about last year with the California situation. So I can't comment on, you know, whether those two individuals that were reported by the neurology folks in California had a strain that was the same as what we're seeing now. What was reported this summer to us was severe respiratory illness, and that's where we've been identifying this EV68.
How many different strains of 68 would there be?
That 68 is fairly unusual in terms of our surveillance, but you'd really need to compare the viruses. And since we didn't do that testing, it's hard for us to say exactly what those strains were. The specimens that we got from California didn't reveal that result.
Okay. We've got time for two more questions.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Isolda Piguero of Telemundo. Go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, hi. I was just wondering, Doctor, thank you for taking my question. I know that it's commonly or most common among children, but does that mean that the adults are exempt from being becoming sick from this virus? And also, do we have a rounded number among all the states where this has hit, of like a rounded number, 900, 700, how many people in total, how many kids?
We don't have a rounded number. We have very small numbers of confirmed cases so far, so that's why I was saying dozens rather than rounded number. And adults don't tend to get enteroviral infections or get diagnosed with them as much as children, and perhaps that's due to previous exposures. We really don't know. It's not something that we have great awareness of. But what we're seeing right now is typical, that we're seeing children with the enterovirus infection, even though the type involved is unusual. Operator, we have time for one last question, if there is one.
Thank you. Our last question comes from Ed Hyers of Star Banner. Go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you for taking my question. This was something that you addressed earlier before, and I wanted to make sure I understood. Based on the number of clusters and the number of states that are contacting the CDC for assistance, I wanted to make sure I understood, what do you anticipate as far as the spread of the virus in additional states? Is there reason to believe that that's going to be seen in other states now, or might it very well, you know, stay relatively stagnant in where it's being seen now?
You know, it's just too soon to say. We, of course, want to make sure that clinicians around the country are on the lookout for this and that health departments are ready to support clinicians. I can't say whether we'll be seeing this in many more states or not, but, of course, we want to be supporting the families involved and making sure that the state and hospitals are ready should more cases occur. Thank you all for calling in. I'm going to let Mr. Skinner wrap things up.
Hi, thank you for joining us today. I did want to follow up on a question that a reporter asked of Dr. Shukat about a suspected case of Ebola in South Florida, particularly in Miami. I can tell you that there was a low-risk patient, a person who was considered to be low-risk for Ebola, that was tested by the state laboratory response network there in Florida and tested negative. And so we'll be receiving that specimen here to do confirmatory testing, and then we will provide results of those tests to the State Health Department in Florida, and they'll release that information to you. So I did want to follow up on that one question. So this concludes our call. If you have additional questions or need additional information, please call the CDC press office at 404-639-3286. Thank you.
Thank you for your participation in today's conference. You may now disconnect.